back here again, which is a joy, and you know, we never know what the Lord's going to do. Excited to work with Sean, and we'll divide our time, and we'll just see how this thing's going to work out. But it's certainly God's hand, God's timing. Talked to the president of One Mission Society. He said, yeah, Ed. He said, you need to do that. And we've got a home church here, Methodist church, and a Baptist home church in Alabama. It's not Greenbow, Alabama. It's Alabama. So we're just good to be with you. I'm excited what God's going to do. It's a good season, and what we want to do is not take all our skill sets, because there's a lot of skill sets on this staff, and just place what we know to do on what God's doing. I want to see it organically bubble up and see what God, how the structure manage what God's doing, instead of us putting the management structure on it. So, you know, be in prayer. You're the structure. You're the ones that God's going to enable and empower, and I'm excited about that. This is the second sermon in the series on advancing the kingdom through spiritual warfare. And the first one was the king has the last move a couple months ago. And there's two more. And as Pastor Nate puts me in the cycle of rotation or however he's going to set it up for preaching, I'll bring the next two of those. But this is the second one. First one was on, and I'll read the scripture in a moment. This first one was on the fact, it was Billy Graham used this in 1956 or 59. It was an artist rendering of a chess game, and it had checkmate, and the devil's there, and a person's there, and the devil's smiling because he has checkmate. And people going by, well, this professional chess player went by and looked at it, started to leave, came back, said, just let me stay here a while. He stayed there a while, came running excited. He said, it's not checkmate. The king has one more move. The king always has one more move. The Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has the last move in your life and my life and in history. And nothing will ever change that. The king always has the last move. So we looked at the sense of the God's sovereignty and providence when you begin to talk about angels and demons and spiritual warfare, so that you don't get off to the right or left. God's sovereignty and providence provides some guardrails in understanding evil, because we're not in a cosmic battle between good and evil, not knowing who will win. No. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and from creation. It's not that kind of battle. I mean, it's a battle that's already won, and we know the end result, and we're in the in-between time. And so we understand that. And so in the midst of that, before we just start talking about the armor of God and all those kinds of things that many of you know well much about, I want to set the parameters. And this is some new stuff I've learned over the last 20 years since I've been away from you, you know, just different things that we learn. So what we're looking at today then is angels, and then the next one will be demons, and the final one will be putting it all together with the armor of God and warfare. And so we'll try and pull that together. The scripture today is Psalm 91. Verse 11 is the key verse, but I'll begin at verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. And here's the verse, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Notice, he will command his angels. It's not an option. Concerning to guard you in all your ways. They will lift up you up in their hands, wow, so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone. You'll tread upon the lion and the cobra. You'll trample the great lion and the serpent. And so we see here this very clear command about angels. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, give us understanding here when we talk about this whole area and topic, and now today, angels. Grant us your power and presence to obey whatever you speak to any of us individually, that we would always have you as our master. In Jesus' name, amen. When you talk about angels, it's like Max Lucado says, it's like whale watching. They come up for a bit and then they're gone. They come up for a bit and then they're gone. And that's the way it is with angels in the Bible. You don't have just one section saying, now I'm going to talk about angels. So you have to, you kind of go through all of that. They appear and disappear. And if we had open eyes, we would see the angels. We can't see the angels. But it says the studies show that 7 out of 10 adults believe in angels. I do, because the Bible has a lot to say about angels, over 300 times. So I believe there are angels. Billy Graham said, angels speak, they appear and reappear. They feel with absence of emotion. While angels may become visible by choice, our eyes are not conducted to see them ordinarily any more than we can see the dimensions of a nuclear field, the structure of atoms, or electricity that flows through the copper wiring. And yet they're mentioned very much in the Bible, and they're here. Now, you may have had an encounter with an angel. We read about encounters. I'll tell you one that I believe I had. I haven't shared this, and I never shared it, even while I was here, I don't think. Because I just didn't want focus out on that kind of thing without the parameters that I said in the first message. But graduated in 1968, got my motorcycle, put racing pistons in it, poured and polished the heads and all that good stuff, put nitro in it so you'd cry when you were behind it, and boosted everything. And all of it was because I was running away from the call to preach. I was saved early, had a call to preach early, knew it. People around me knew it, but I was not going to go into the ministry. And I was running as fast as I could. Almost ran to the Vietnam War. And that July, that just didn't happen. And then this happened. Here I am about 1 a.m. in the morning. I go into WVU. Only did a semester. Didn't go the last semester, didn't tell my parents, so I had to own up to that later. Was not a pretty scene. But, you know, I'm running. It's 1 a.m., and on this curvy road out from Ralph's Supermarket to head to the house, guy on road, you know, it's got its curves in it, and if you've ever ridden motorcycles, man, you know, you can lay it down. And I knew every curve, as long as the pavement was dry, I knew what speed I could go at. And I could lay that baby right down, and I could open it up halfway through and make a racket and wake everyone up that was living around, you know. So here I am going out through there, and I'm in one of those curves that lean to the right, and I'm really down there, and I'm opening it up, that throttle. And you know when someone gets on the back of your bike, the springs depress? All of a sudden, at almost 70 miles an hour in a curve, the springs on my bike depress. Someone sat down behind me. I mean, literally. Immediately, the presence of the Lord just broke me. I mean, and what broke me was I said, Lord, I am running as fast as I can from you. And I've told you to leave me alone. And now you hear at 1 a.m. on my bike. And I wept. And it just overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord. And I knew what the presence of the Lord, I knew who it was. I really believe that was probably an angel sent that night. Don't know. I'll hopefully meet that angel maybe someday. Doesn't matter. What God did, he tackled me, and I ended up at Asbury College in August, and the rest of the story goes on from there. Teen challenge and everything. But it was probably an encounter with an angel that finally pushed me over the edge that night. But as we talk about these angels, I don't want people focusing on that. The focus on that bike that night was the presence of Jesus. It's never the angels we worship. It's never the presence of an angel. I mean, they can't change the heart. They can't cleanse from sin. They're not the ones that died on the cross. It was the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's our focus. But now let's look at angels. It occurs over 300 times in the Bible. It's translated basically messenger. And so let's first of all talk about what's new, not true about angels. First of all, angels are not eternal beings. In other words, angels have never been here before God. They are immortal, but they have a beginning. They're immortal because they have no ending. All right? God created the angels. They are not eternal beings. Angels cannot die. They do not have bodies like we do. Jesus in Luke 20, 36, he says about those in heaven, they are like angels that can no longer die. And so angels do not die. That's why Satan didn't die. He was thrown out of heaven. Maybe see why that happened. Thirdly, angels are neither male nor female. We really don't get a gender in the Bible. They're using masculine names for the angels, but male names, but there's no indication that there's gender. So we would say probably they're neither male nor female. Now, angels are not omnipresent like God. They can travel places we can't go and go faster than us. But the angel that's in Myanmar right now can't be here right now. Not omnipresent. The angel in Iran right now and what's happening there can't be here right now. It's an angel. Remember in Daniel where the angel was delayed and he called for help from Micah, one of the chief princes who came to fight so he could go on to speak to Daniel. So angels are not omnipresent like God. And fifthly here, we're not angels, and we've never been angels. And I don't know about you, but Loretta and I never raised angels. So, ha ha, yeah. Anyway, but we're not angels. Some cults will say that we're angels. That preexistence is blocked out, and we're here going through this life, and some time we'll be gods. Mormons have some of that kind of theology, others do, but we are not angels and never were. Psalm 8, 4 to 5, it says, God ranked us where he ranked us in Psalm 8, 4 to 6. What is mankind that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them, you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under their feet. And so he created us, and everything that he's created is under his hands. So that's what's not true about angels. But what is true about angels? And we'll use, if you ever want to just go through Luke 2, 8 to 21, there's a boatload of information about angels in that gospel account. We'll just make a few observations. First of all, angels worship for God's glory. Almost every passage in Scripture, the angels are worshiping. And it says, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. Angels worshiping the Lord. Nehemiah 9:6, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. It appears from Job and from creation where God says to Job, where were you, Job, when I created the universe? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it, or on what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? So even at creation itself, and I think if we could see back at creation, every day of creation, the whole heavenly host are worshiping God and saying hallelujah, and the land forms and the animals form, and the sun and the day and the night, and then human beings, Adam and Eve, and the angels are there observing in awe and giving glory to God. They're the same angels that are with us today. And they're worshiping all through these centuries, the worship of the Lord. And so I like to kid around. I was telling Gilda, I said, you know, when God created everything and the land formed and he formed North America and they formed West Virginia, and when they put those whitetail deer and those turkey in there, the angel sang hallelujah. There, and trout in the stream, sorry. Yeah. There was joy happening in all of creation, in every aspect of what was happening. And in Hebrews 1:6, the same angels that worshiped at creation, it says, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And in speaking of the angels, he said he makes angels, spirits, and his servants flames of fire. He makes his angels spirits and flames of fire. In Revelation 7:12, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders of the four living beasts. They fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. If you were to go to the throne of God today, that's exactly what you would see. We are with angels right now in this room. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They're unseen hosts. The angels cannot be saved, but they cannot have a relationship like us. Our worship is with the Heavenly Father, but angels in the room right now. And they worship God. Whatever they do, they're worshiping for the glory of God. The second thing, angels work for God's pleasure. You know, I used to think they fly around and play harps and listen to country music. George Strait said, heaven is missing an angel. When your woman is so beautiful and wonderful that you just can't understand how great she is, there's only one explanation. She's probably an angel. I mean, we have angels all over the place. But we need to take attention and say what God wants. But they're standing as sentinels. They're standing before God, waiting for what God wants them to do. And God is saying, I want you to look after my people. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? That's what they do. They worship the Lord, and they're sent to minister to us. How do they help us? They provide. In Matthew, Jesus fasted 40 days and was tempted, and the angels brought him food. Elijah, angels brought him food at the end when he thought he was all alone. They provide for us. How they do that in ways, we don't know. But they are providing for us. Maybe they're protecting us. Maybe they're enabling us at some point. But they don't have power to infill us like the Holy Spirit does, to renew us, to change us. That's all the role of the Holy Spirit. But they do provide at the command of God the Father. And then they protect us. We hear about guardian angels. But you know, the Bible doesn't teach that everyone has a guardian angel. Just one angel. I think some of you take more angels than one. And so that's why that's not in the scriptures. So it's angels who guard us, to take care of us. And I think there's from time to time and say, go and help my child here. They're having a hard time. Encourage, let the encouragement push back the darkness and protect them during this time. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who inherit salvation? Notice they're limited here to the ones who are doing the work of the Lord. They're the ones who have guardian angels. Psalms 34:7 says, it's those who fear him. Interesting, it is those who are doing the work of the Lord. Although I know of instances around the world where people who are just seeking God are tired of Buddhism or Muslim faith and have become lonely and just begin to seek God, that they have a dream or a vision, and sometimes visitation of angels they talk about, and come to know Christ. So, you know, God's working in the world, but that's God's decision. You know, when you read the scripture, there's no verse that says God has to tell us everything he's doing and how he's doing it. No, we trust him. Angels camp outside our lives. If you fear God, you have an angelic protection. Psalm 91:11, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Doesn't mean you can't die. Doesn't mean you can't be hurt. Doesn't mean you can't have bad things happen to you. But he does encamp about us. And so I always pray, Lord, put some angels on this airplane with me. Or when we're in the country, Lord, may your angels be with us as we're walking through this village that's full of darkness or whatever. We did that in New York City, and there's parts that Loretta and I and the Teen Challenge team, we knew we had to be walking by the blood of Christ, and we asked for angels to escort us and keep us from harm as we would go through certain areas. And so we were very conscious that God sends the angels to protect us. You know, pray to the angels. We ask God to protect us, and by Scripture we know he sends angels from time to time. You get that? You're not praying to an angel to come and protect you. Never, ever do that. You pray to Jesus and for protection and give him glory and let him decide who to send and what to do and how to do it. There's a woman who's walking down a sidewalk, and the voice said to her, stop! Just then a brick came off the building. Would have killed her. She goes down a few blocks more, and a voice says, stop! And before she crosses the street, a concrete truck jackknifes and tumbles and would have killed her. And finally, she said, who are you? And the voice said, I'm your guardian angel to protect you. Then she says, well, I have one question for you. Where were you on my wedding day? Probably wasn't the best place for that, but I didn't know where to put it. So we talked about what's not true of angels, what's true of angels. And now let's look at the function of angels. That starts to get to kind of the fun stuff. Angels war for God's victory. They are warriors. They're not fairies with harps and wings. They're flaming servants, and they are warriors and mighty warriors, the scripture says. And Jesus, remember when he was in the garden and Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the priest, high priest, and Jesus said, put away your swords. And he said, I could have called, I think one song says 10,000 angels. Well, it's by legions, and a legion has 6,000, and that means he could have called 72,000 angels right then. Put that away. I could have called 72,000 angels right now. That's more than WVU Coliseum will hold. Right here on this little hillside with us. Put the sword away. That's not how we're going to do this. So you see a little glimpse of heaven itself. Revelation 5:11 says, 10,000 times 10,000 worshiping before the throne. You see the immensity of all of this. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, He will come and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. It's the same word we get the word in English dynamite from. Mighty, powerful angels will come. Hezekiah, 2 Kings 19:35. That night the angel of the Lord went out to the camp, the Syrian camp, and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrian soldiers woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. They're warriors. They're not something to coddle. Certainly not to pray to. Psalm 103:20, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. I love that. Listening for each of his commands. And so you have these worshiping angels who worship for the glory of God, but standing ready for his commands. And I kind of picture it like this. You know, when the church gathers like we were, and we were singing, and I don't know if the angels start singing too or not, maybe they hum at least, but I can just see any demons that are around just going like this. They're just going like this, and the church keeps singing, and the demons, and they're giving glory to God, and I can see a big flaming angel over here, and says, take the exit, boy. You don't need to be here anymore. That's very simplified, but that helps me. I believe that's what happens when the church worships. Because the devil, he comes to destroy and deceive and lie. That's all he does. He lies. He has no power. You notice the angels were mighty over the angels in heaven, which means they weren't powerful enough to stop God. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. There are more powerful angels than God himself than he and his crew. Revelation 12:7-8, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon and his angels waged war. So you got this warfare happening. And they were not strong enough. They were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. I like that. There's no more place for you here, devil. You're out. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of the old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. He's not powerful enough. They are the mighty angels. They are warriors. When you die or when Jesus returns, you need to be clear on that you're on the side of the angels. It is a battle. It's a battle for our souls. And Satan wants us, wants you. He doesn't want you to take the joy and being with him. And you know, there was no, you know why there was no vacancy in heaven? As you read the scripture here? Because the presence of the Lord. They had so turned and rebelled against God that they can't handle the presence of the Lord. And they were pushed out of heaven because of the very holy presence of God. You see it in the gospel. Jesus walks up to a person that's possessed. And the demons start screaming, we know who you are. You're the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God. And he says, shut up. And the next thing he says, get out of him. Why? Because the presence of Almighty God is now there. So when we pray and we worship and the presence of the Holy Spirit is here, darkness has to flee. Has to flee. Billy Graham said this: when my time comes to die, an angel will be there to comfort me. He'll give me peace and joy, even at the most critical hour, and usher me into the presence of God, and I will dwell with the Lord forever. Thank God for the ministry of His blessed angels. So we kind of come down, we talk about angels being good. The question is, who will be your master, death or Christ? The writer of Hebrews said, but we do see Jesus. He is made lower than the angels for a little while. Now He's crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Where Satan gets any, quote, in quotes here, power, put it in quotes, is where there is sin and death reigns in that person's life. But it's in quotes now because Jesus has tasted death for every person, and the tomb is empty, and He's victorious. And death will not hold us. Now, any of you, and if He comes back, He will, but are you powerful enough to escape death? We sang that song, we're on the shores of Beulah, looking in the Beulah land in the first service. I thought, yeah, that's true. That's heaven, Beulah. It's not far away. That's really my home. But the point is here that in Christianity, there's power and there's authority. There's angels in that spiritual world, but it's in Christ alone that we have salvation. And so the question comes, who's your master going to be, death or Christ? You cannot conquer death. You're going to die if he doesn't come back. Now, what are you going to do? And if you die without Christ, you're going to have every demon there ready to take hold of you. That's what I see happening. That's what Billy Graham was saying here. But I do know this. I don't know how that will be, but I do know how it'll be for the saints, okay? There's angels there ready. But what you and I need to do is to receive Christ as our Savior. Is Christianity valid? Then the question has come, why is there so much evil in the world? And to this, a famous preacher replied, with so much soap, why are so many dirty, there are so many dirty people in the world? Christianity's like soap. There's enough to cleanse everyone, but it must be personally applied to make a difference in our lives. It's there. It's yours. And He's offered it to everyone. And then He promises to be with you with His holy... think about this. The third person of the Trinity empowering and filling us, and then ministering angels who are like flaming fire, mighty angels that He sends to encamp about us, to provide and protect us in this spiritual, demonic world against Satan. Why wouldn't you want to live there? That's who we are. But see, Satan will whisper and say, oh, you don't want to do that now. Or no, it's going to cost you too much. Or you'll have to give up this. Or you'll have to give up that. And he wants to keep you away from all that Christ has for you. Now, I think I shared this when Loretta went to be with the Lord. Maybe in the book No Other Name. I'll have to review that. But it was one day in the bedroom. We had a big window that looked out and looked across some water there. And she said, there's someone out there walking. And I looked. I didn't see anyone. I said, no, there's not. And she says, yeah, and they're close to the window. I said, no, they're not. And then I said, is it giving you peace and joy or fear? She says, no, it's perfectly fine with me. I feel good. I said, well, I just thought to myself, maybe that's an angel. Well, as we got into the next 2 weeks, she suddenly said, and we were in the sunroom by then. We had a sunroom, and I would sleep by her at night, and she was in that hospital bed, she said, there's someone standing there at the window looking at me. I said, really? I said, does it give you peace? That was my only criteria. I didn't know what to do. She says, yeah. I said, well, it must be an angel, Loretta. And then, you know, as we got closer, in those hours or that half a day or whatever it was, and she was while she was still able to talk, you know, and communicate some, she says, he's standing in this room. I said, you're going home today, sweetie. Angels. How good God is, right up to the point of death. He's saying, okay, boys, Loretta's about to come home. Go down and get her. Protect her on the way. That's for you and I. That's who we are in Christ. So when we talk about heaven, so angels are there. We'll talk about demons next time and get into that grungy stuff. But the angels and their ministry to us is an awesome time of understanding. But always keep your eyes on Christ. Never worship an angel. Never pray to an angel. But be aware of their presence at times when they might show themselves to you. Probably not, because we end up worshiping, you know, stuff like that. So probably not. But to know they're there and know the battle. So when the battle gets its fiercest, say, Lord, your angels are encamped about me. Begin to affirm what this Bible says. Affirm it. And begin to let what the Word says and not your circumstances and your emotions dictate who you are in Christ. That's a choice you have to make. So today, maybe some of you just say, you know, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. And it's very, very simple. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Realize that He died in your place. And say, come into my life and I will serve you. Maybe you've been one that's just battling. You've got your agenda, God's got His agenda, and you want to keep enough fire insurance so you avoid hell. But you're not living right with Him. And today God's saying, you know, let's get this together. That's the most important thing you can do here today. So I want to pray with you. And I think as Pastor Nate and the Lord leads him, and we come back and work with Pastor Sean and see what God's doing, that we'll really talk about the prayer intercessors, the things that you are already doing that's already birthing here, and how to move ahead in this advancing the kingdom. But today, let's do work with one another. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your word we know there are angels here. Can't see them, Lord. Don't need to. You're the one we want to see. You're the only one we want to worship. And we thank you that you have the keys to death and hell, and that in you we can no longer have fear of death. In you we can have a transformed life in this life, and to be your witnesses and to be your servant. I pray for those today that just need to do business. There's really only two choices. I pray they'll choose you as the master and not let death be their master, but you. And pray you'll speak to the hearts, minds. And then, Lord, as we begin in these days and Pastor Nathan leads through the book of Acts, that you will put in place what you're doing to advance the kingdom here. And that we'll be conscious of that and together on that, and that your holy presence would fill this place for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.